morning and welcome to WMNF Tampa. It's 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. You might also be listening on the WMNF app. I'm Sean Canaan, here to bring you an hour of interviews and news. It's July 6th, 2021 at 10:06 in the morning. Today we're going to hear later on from Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch. He's going to update us on preparation for Tropical Storm Elsa. He's also running for St. Pete Mayor, so we'll hear about that as well, and we'll catch up with the other candidates as the summer goes on. In the first half of the show, we're going to get updates on Elsa from the governor and from Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. I'm going to take your phone calls during this show, all throughout the show, so if you have any questions or if you'd like to be among the first to talk to us, give us a call right now at 813-239-9663. All lines are open right now. That I can't tell you for sure that's going to be the case in a few minutes, so if you do want to get in the queue, give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can also email your questions to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text us at 813-433-0885. If you text, please sign your name. Before we get to the latest on Tropical Storm Elsa, we're going to look at another potential ecological disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, fish kills in Pinellas County from the ongoing red tide outbreak. WMNF's Daniel Figueroa IV reports that thousands of dead fish are floating along the coast of Tampa Bay and beyond.
Patty Ann Lomax has lived on a sailboat in the marina next to the pier in St. Petersburg for 8 years. In that time, she hasn't seen anything quite like it.
The last time the state had a real bad outbreak, a red tide, we didn't get affected at all. I'm sure it's not going to be a pleasant odor if it doesn't clear up.
The smell on Friday wasn't as bad as it was Thursday, but overturned, bloated, and rotting fish continue to wash into the marina by the hundreds. At nearby Demon's Landing, low tide left rocks along the seawall littered with trash and fish carcasses. The rotting bodies left to bake in the hot summer sun, creating a nauseating aroma of salt water and death. Fish kills have been reported as far north and east as Flagler County in the last week. More reports litter the east coast, wrapping around the state and heading up the Nature Coast on the Gulf side. The suspected culprit? Red tide. City crews in St. Pete have been working to scoop as many dead fish out of the water as they can. Back in St. Pete, the fish kills surrounding Pinellas on both bay and gulf sides are keeping many, like Juan Diaz, from the water.
I haven't gone there in probably 2 months. I usually go like regularly every week, but because of the news, I haven't gone. It's keeping me from swimming, yeah.
And medical experts are urging caution around the holiday weekend. Dr. Lynn Ringenberg has seen pools of dead fish floating from Bayshore Boulevard to the Gandy Bridge. She said that should be a warning sign to anyone planning on being on or near the water. Red tide can cause respiratory issues in even healthy people. It's also possible to bring harmful bacteria home, where it can harm family members, especially the medically vulnerable. Ringenberg said she's likely to be staying dry.
I wouldn't be getting into water with my children or anybody with dead fish floating around.
Researchers with the State University of South Florida and the Tampa Bay Estuary Program are investigating whether current red tide outbreaks are related to the 215 million gallons of contaminated water spilled from the Piney Point phosphate plant in April. For WMNF News, I'm Daniel Figueroa IV in St. Petersburg.
So thanks to that report from WMNF senior reporter Daniel Figueroa IV, and you can hear it again if you'd like. It's at WMNF.org. So we're going to turn our focus now for a bit on the latest about Tropical Storm Elsa, and I'm sure you have tons of questions, so you feel free to call in 813-239-9663. We'll do our best to get the questions answered. Later on, we'll have an expert, Ken Welch, from the Pinellas County Commission. He'll be speaking with us live around the bottom of the hour, so you can ask him questions as well. So far, the most important thing for us here in the Tampa Bay area to know about is that the peak storm surge is expected to be 3 to 5 feet above high tide level. So if you are near the coast, please be aware of that. There is expected to be coastal flooding. There's also expected to be flooding from rain, because we could get several inches of rain over the next 24 or so hours. And the wind, of course, will be a problem with the tropical storm approaching. So we'll get to all that this hour, but I just wanted to fill you in on the very latest. The National Hurricane Center says weather conditions in southern Florida have begun to deteriorate already as Tropical Storm Elsa moves toward the Florida Keys. Right now, the center is located west of Key West, just west. So almost due south of us, maybe, I don't know the exact amount, but maybe it's about 200 or 250 miles due south of us pretty much. The top winds have strengthened to 60 miles an hour. A hurricane watch is in effect today for parts of Florida's Gulf Coast, including coastal counties here in the Tampa Bay area. And that's complicating the search effort at the collapsed condo in Surfside in South Florida. The tropical storm could be near hurricane strength before it makes landfall somewhere between Tampa Bay and the Big Bend area of Florida. So in the northern part of our listening area is where it's expected to make landfall, perhaps tomorrow morning. Forecasters also warn that it could push a storm surge of water into Tampa Bay neighborhoods. The wind will be more favorable for that after midnight, early tomorrow morning, and that's also about when high tide will be. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who we'll hear from in just a moment, has expanded a state of emergency to cover a dozen counties, including most of the Tampa Bay area. Tampa International Airport plans to shut down today at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's our first update on the Florida, on the disaster, the potential disaster of Tropical Storm Elsa. Nothing has happened quite yet. We'll be standing by and we'll be paying attention to what happens with this storm, but we want to make sure that you're prepared. Let me give you some sound from what's called the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, and you'll be hearing from that team all summer, as you have in summers past. Hurricane watches have been issued from Pinellas County north to the Steinhatchee River. Tropical storm warnings continue from the lower and middle keys northward to the entire west coast of Florida and into the coast of Big Bend. Tropical storm Elsa is moving north-northwest at 12 miles an hour. It's about 50 miles from Key West, top winds 60 miles an hour as of the 5 o'clock this morning update from the National Hurricane Center. I believe we're expecting another update at the top of the hour at 11. Meteorologist Ray Hawthorne of the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network says tropical storm conditions are already occurring in the lower keys and will be occurring in southwest Florida by mid-morning and then later today in the Tampa Bay area.
The lead rain bands are producing wind gusts to tropical storm force in Key West early this morning. I expect those bands to arrive over southwest Florida later this morning and reaching the greater Tampa St. Pete areas during the mid and late afternoon. The stronger winds will reach the Nature Coast and north central Florida overnight and finally into northeast Florida and the Big Bend first thing Wednesday morning.
Huffman says tropical storm conditions are expected to begin over the Tampa Bay area late this afternoon. They're expected to reach the Nature Coast after dusk, and the highest gusts of 50 to 70 miles an hour are likely near the Gulf and Tampa Bay. 40 to 50 mile an hour wind gusts are expected inland. Water levels could rise 3 to 5 feet in a few places near the beachfront, especially near high tide overnight. That's the wee hours of tomorrow morning. And Huffman says that flash flooding and isolated tornadoes are possible and that tropical storm conditions are likely to continue overnight and then slowly improve tomorrow afternoon as the storm moves away from us northward. And throughout the day, people in the state and in the counties will be giving updates. This morning, after the update that we just heard, we got an update from the Florida governor, which I'll be playing right now. So we're also going to hear from Kevin Guthrie with the state. But here is the Florida Division of Emergency Management and Governor Ron DeSantis speaking about the latest as of about 8 o'clock for the Tropical Storm Elsa.
Well, good morning. I've received an 8 a.m. briefing from our state meteorologist. And as many of you know, last night, Elsa made landfall in Cuba. It's back over water, headed north over the eastern Gulf of Mexico. As of 8 a.m., the National Hurricane Center advisory located Elsa 55 miles west of Key West, and it's moving north-northwest at 12 mile an hour. Maximum winds are near 60 mile per hour, but Elsa is expected to be near hurricane strength tonight prior to making landfall in Florida. It will track parallel to the west coast of Florida today with strong wind gusts and heavy rain, along with the potential for isolated tornadoes. It will make landfall along Florida west coast tomorrow morning. It's important that Floridians don't focus on the cone. Impacts are expected well outside that area. And if you look at how the storm is, it's incredibly lopsided to the east. So most of the rainfall is going to be east of the center of the storm. And right now there are tropical storm warnings for 22 counties along Florida's west coast. And a hurricane watch is now in effect for the Florida coast stretching from Pinellas County to Dixie County. A tropical storm warning means tropical storm conditions are expected within 36 hours. A hurricane watch means hurricane conditions are possible. Now, storm surge will be a concern. There is a storm surge warning in effect for 12 counties between Taylor and Lee on the Gulf Coast, and that obviously may impact some folks who live in those low-lying areas. Much of North and Central Florida have experienced above normal rainfall over the past 2 weeks, which will increase the likelihood of flash flooding conditions with the anticipated heavy rain. And I think that that's important, whether it's a hurricane, a strong tropical storm, those winds are what they are. They obviously have impact, but you're going to see a lot of rain dumped, particularly on the northern part of the state that is already saturated right now. So those conditions, even under normal circumstances, could be present. Now, the interaction of the wet ground with even more rain, you will see flash flooding conditions in many parts of Florida as this thing moves through. So if you're in those coastal areas, begin your preparations now. Be prepared to be without power for a few days and having enough food and water for each person and their family, including for your pets. It's important that Floridians have weather alerts turned on, especially as we see the most impacts will occur overnight with this storm. Please heed all warnings from local officials. If they ask you to evacuate your area, it's for your own safety. Counties will open shelters if they issue evacuations. Now, we don't anticipate any widespread evacuations as a result of this storm at this point. It pretty much has been focused on people who are power dependent or who have special needs. There could be targeted low-lying areas in some of those counties. And so what we would just tell people is heed the warnings. If those orders are issued or if those orders are recommended, please heed the call on that. But again, in terms of any type of widespread evacuation, we don't anticipate that that will be something that's necessary. As you are preparing for the storm, if you're going to mess around with your trees, just make sure that you take precautions for your own safety. Use the proper tools and materials. We see every year incidents result either pre or post storm for people who are cutting down trees. And of course, if you do lose power and decide to use a generator, please make sure to use it appropriately. The exhaust must go to open air and not inside your home, not inside your garage, and also not inside under an open window. Sometimes people will put it right out their window, have the window open with the power cords running, and the exhaust comes into the house. As Kevin Guthrie and I have pointed out over the last couple days, the last 4 years, there have been more fatalities as the result of people getting carbon monoxide poisoning than direct impacts from the storm. And so please use that appropriately and just understand that if that is put inside a house, that is very, very hazardous to people's health and safety. So the state is well equipped to handle the storm. We have the state emergency response team working around the clock. We are going to increase the readiness to a level one. We normally wouldn't do that for a tropical storm, but given the part of the state that this is likely to impact the most of those counties are fiscally constrained counties. And so Kevin Guthrie and his team are going to provide additional support for those fiscally constrained counties. Please monitor your local weather service for updates and begin your storm preparations. We're appreciative of everyone here who's snapped right into shape to be able to deal with this after having dealt with, of course, the Surfside building collapse and after having over a year where they were in emergency posture to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. I'm going to let the state DEM director, Kevin Guthrie, say a few things.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you for your leadership on this. Again, our hearts and our hearts are out, go out to Surfside, and our prayers for the continued response there. We do have a microcosm of the state emergency response team still downrange in Surfside, helping them out. I obviously came back last night with the governor to get ready for this event, but we arrived to an already activated EOC, and these individuals, men and women of the state emergency response team, I cannot say enough about them. They are professionals at what they do. They are the best in the world. And they have been carrying on for well over 480 days now straight. The only thing that I would add to the governor's comments here is I did, when I got back yesterday from Surfside, I had personal phone calls with each and every county EM director that are underneath a watch or a warning, and asked them if there was any needs that they had. Only a handful of counties actually requested some stuff, from a truckload of water to a handful of personnel to help augment their very small programs. So we are filling those requests today. They will arrive prior to landfall. So again, there were no unmet needs with the exception of about three counties that needed, like I said, anything from water to personnel. We stand ready. We will be here overnight tonight working and being on the ground ready to go if any of our counties should need us. Again, Governor, thank you for your leadership on this.
You have any questions?
Yep. You earlier mentioned 6,000 utility workers.
Yeah.
National Guard also being posted anywhere or...
Yes, sir. As a part of the governor's initial roll-up, we did call up about 200 Florida National Guardsmen, maybe about 250. But we do have them on standby, ready to go. The majority of them are at our logistical staging center down in Orlando, helping us push commodities out of that warehouse.
We'll have a another update. The 11 a.m. advisory for the National Hurricane Service, if they are going to make changes to the track. We don't anticipate any major changes being made, but I do think... And again, the impacts are going to be far to the east of the actual eye of the storm. But we are in a situation where they're looking at Levy County, Citrus County, Dixie County area as landfall. But if it does wobble one way or another, I mean, that obviously would impact that. So we may see an update in the track at the 11 a.m. And then we'll obviously have a 5 p.m. advisory as well. So we'll continue to provide updates as we go. Thanks.
Well, that was Governor Ron DeSantis speaking at 8 o'clock this morning. We also heard from Kevin Guthrie, who is the director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management. They're, of course, talking about Tropical Storm Elsa that's expected to make landfall in the northern part of the Tampa Bay area around perhaps Citrus County or northward, depending on how it tracks, probably late tonight or early tomorrow morning. So we're getting some Tropical Storm Elsa updates. This half of the first half of the show, in the second half of the show, we're going to speak with Ken Welch, the county commissioner from Pinellas County. He's also a candidate for St. Pete mayor. I'm Sean Canaan, and you're listening to WMNF News and Interviews on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. It's 10:23. In a moment, we're going to hear a little bit more about what Tropical Storm Elsa has already done in the Caribbean, but I want to read some emails that are coming in. First of all, Ron from Lutz asks, are there any evacuation orders for the Tampa Bay area? And the answer to that is no, not yet. There have not been any evacuation orders issued. Stay tuned, though, in case there are. Who knows, there might or might not be, but do be aware that there is expected to be some 2 to 3 or 4 foot storm surge, also some flooding from the storm surge and from possible heavy rainfall, as well as heavy winds. So just keep an eye on everything, and we'll try to keep you abreast as well as we can here. Also, I want to give you some updates. If you want to get a sandbag, you might want to hurry and do that soon, because we have some information on our website, WMNF.org, about sandbags available in some of the communities. We don't have all of them up there on that website, but I'll try to update it as much as I can during this show. But here's an update, the very latest about Citrus County sandbags. The site will close today at 6 in the afternoon because of the potential weather impacts. The locations that will remain open until 6 in Citrus County are 4210 South Grand March Avenue in Homosassa. That's near Grover Cleveland Boulevard. Also 7500 West Gulf to Lake Highway. That's in Crystal River near Dan's Clam Stand. There's a limit of 15 bags per vehicle. If you have any questions, call the road maintenance office at 352-527-7610, or you can visit the Citrus County Facebook page. Other updates in Citrus County is the senior community centers are going to close because of the weather today at 6 in the afternoon. Also, all county parks and recreation facilities in Citrus County are going to close at 6 o'clock this afternoon because of the potential weather impacts. All facilities will remain closed on Wednesday as well. That's tomorrow as well. So lots of Citrus County updates because they just happen to come through right now. Also, it's very close to where we're expecting the storm to make landfall. Late tonight or very early tomorrow morning. We are listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. We're going to get this update here about what the storm has already brought to the Caribbean. Tropical Storm Elsa was briefly a Category 1 hurricane. It left wind and flooding damage in Barbados and other islands in the Eastern Caribbean. It then swiped the southern coast of the Dominican Republic and Haiti before weakening to a tropical storm, and it moved across Cuba yesterday. WLRN reporter Tim Padgett spoke with WLRN's Andrea Perdomo about the effects of the storm in the Caribbean and the challenges to that the Caribbean now faces as these storms form so much earlier and so much later in the Atlantic hurricane season than they ever did before. Again, you're listening to WMNF Tampa, but here is an update from our state, from a sister station in South Florida, WLRN, about Tropical Storm Elsa.
Well, good morning.
Tim, can you recap for us what Elsa did in the Caribbean? There was a lot of concern that Haiti in particular would experience destructive flooding.
It does not appear as though Haiti suffered catastrophic flooding. The country's southwest tip, unfortunately, did get battered by heavy rains and wind, and officials say that damaged a big part of Haiti's agriculture, which is not good news when the UN says almost half the population isn't getting enough food this year. The only deaths reported on Hispaniola, that's the island Haiti shares with the Dominican Republic, were in the Dominican Republic, where two people were killed by collapsing walls. The only other fatality over the weekend was in St. Lucia, much further to the east in the Caribbean, where Elsa first formed.
Elsa seemed to slow down after brushing Hispaniola, and then it spent most of yesterday crossing eastern Cuba. Was Havana, that country's capital, badly affected?
As of late Monday afternoon, Elsa did look to be headed almost directly for Havana, which is why authorities there said they'd evacuated thousands of people by bus to safer areas. The storm did bring 65-mile-an-hour winds and dump heavy rain on Cuba's interior, along with a lot of power outages. But the good news is the storm weakened considerably as it crossed the island.
Even though Elsa didn't turn out to be as destructive in the Caribbean as it seems like it could have been, you say there is something about the storm that really worries Caribbean governments.
Right. The fact that it appeared so early in the Atlantic hurricane season. Officially, the season starts on June 1st, right? But the reality is most hurricanes don't threaten the Caribbean until mid-August. Elsa became a named storm on July 1st. It's already the fifth named storm of 2021. That's the earliest ever that five named storms have been recorded in the Atlantic. But the real fear is this. The earliest that five named storms ever appeared before this year was last year. So this might not be an aberration. Experts say it's starting to feel like a climate change trend.
Tim, I also saw reports that Elsa was the first hurricane to hit the island country of Barbados in more than 60 years.
Yes, and look at how far south Barbados sits in the Caribbean. Atlantic hurricanes usually don't form at that southern a latitude. But again, is this an exception or a new norm? Because we also saw two powerful hurricanes, Eta and Iota, form this far south last year. It just raises the concern that climate change and global warming are making a larger swath of the Caribbean more vulnerable to these storms.
And it's not just the earlier start of the Atlantic hurricane activity that worries the Caribbean basin. It's also ending later, too. How are governments preparing for that?
I was just talking about Hurricane Iota, which hit Central America with Category 4 strength in late November last year. Remember, officially, the Atlantic hurricane season ends November 30th. No recorded storm that powerful had ever formed that late in the year. So while in years past, our hurricane season was in reality a two-month, mid-August to mid-October thing, there's suddenly the concern that it's becoming a four- or five-month reality. And as you point out, the big question is, can countries with limited disaster mitigation and response resources, like these Caribbean islands, handle that longer hurricane season reality? I spoke with the Intergovernmental Caribbean Disaster Emergency Management Agency in Barbados, and they told me their director, Elizabeth Riley, will be in teleconference meetings with Caribbean governments most of this week discussing just that.
Well, that was WLRN's reporter Tim Padgett speaking with their other reporter, Andrea Perdomo, about Tropical Storm Elsa, which was briefly Hurricane 1, Hurricane Elsa, Hurricane Category 1, and how much damage it did in the Caribbean. And joining us in just a second is going to be Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch. I just want to remind people that if you would like to join the show, if you have any questions about about Tropical Storm Elsa, it's now a tropical storm, you can give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can email dj@wmnf.org. You can also text us at 813-433-0885. And if you do text, please sign your name so that we know who's talking to us. So I'd like to invite now into the show Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch. I appreciate you coming on the show this morning, Commissioner Welch. Welcome to WMNF.
Sean, it's good to be here. Sorry it's under these circumstances. I do need to say, though, I'm a former county commissioner. I left last November. I ended my term.
Exactly. Yeah, and the reason, and we'll get to this in a second. And the reason you the reason you left as county commissioner is because you're going to be running for mayor. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. But I just wanted to get an update from you about if you were advising St. Pete residents or residents of Pinellas County about how to prepare for this storm, what would you say to them?
Well, there's a lot of good information out there, and you know, the thing is, there's so many new people to our area. We're growing again, and so a lot of folks haven't been through this. The best thing is to be informed. Go to PinellasCounty.org or StPete.org, and right at the top of the page, you'll see a banner on the county website, for example, that will direct you to information about storm surge, about how to properly stock your storm kit. And just be prepared for the storm. You know, even a tropical storm can have significant impact in terms of wind and flooding, depending on where you are in the city or the county. And so just be informed, know your evacuation zone. And when if the call to evacuate comes, and I don't think it's going to happen this time, but if that does come, we need to heed that call, because we are in you know, ground zero for being vulnerable to tropical storms and hurricanes.
And part of that is because of the coastal nature of Pinellas County and a lot of the nature coast in the Tampa Bay area. Part of it is just, you know, where the geography, I guess, of the Caribbean Basin and the Gulf of Mexico, that Florida does seem to get hit quite a lot. Now, storm surge is one of the things that we're supposed to be watching out for, and that could happen overnight, especially with high tide. And we also are expecting a lot of rain. What have you heard, if you're prepared to answer, what have you heard about the amount of rainfall that we're getting and that we're expected to get, and the winds and the storm surge?
Well, the forecasters are saying that we might get about 4 inches or more of rain and possibly 3 to 5 feet of storm surge later tonight. And so that's pretty significant, depending on where you are in the city or the county. You know, there's certain areas that flood, there are flooding already, for example. So just know your area, know where the flooding usually occurs. Down in my neck of the woods, you know, MLK down by Boyd Hill is a known spot to flood. So that's what we're in store for tonight. Hopefully just a rain event and winds, you know, 40 to 60 miles an hour near the coast. But you need to be prepared. You need to know what part of your area floods and stay away from that. Certainly don't try to drive through anything that you can't see to the bottom of the water. A lot of folks think they can drive through water, but water is very powerful. And just be smart and listen to the officials who are giving advice on what to do, when to hunker down. Most folks, you know, have a storm kit, but I would top it off. What we're recommending is 7 days of food that doesn't have to be refrigerated. We had Hurricane Irma a couple of years ago, and I know we were out for a week from that storm, even though it wasn't a direct hit. So, you know, be prepared with food, water, and to be on your own for 7 days.
Our guest is former Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch, and this is WMNF. My name is Sean Canaan. It's 10:35 in the morning. We're talking right now about Tropical Storm Elsa and some of the preparation that you could be doing. It's expected to affect our area beginning late this afternoon and lasting overnight. Also, I want to read some updates that are just coming in through email. While you can also call in 813-239-9663. You can join us by emailing dj@wmnf.org. Or you can text 813-433-0885. The Hillsborough County Emergency Operations Center says that it is partially activating its Emergency Operations Center in response to the tropical storm. This allows the county and partner agencies to coordinate resources and operations. There is an emergency storm shelter open in Hillsborough. It's for residents who are concerned about their safety. It's in Riverview High School. That's on Boyette Road in Riverview. The shelter opened at 8 this morning. No evacuations have been called in Hillsborough County. The shelter is intended for residents who are concerned about staying in their homes during a tropical storm. And wherever possible, residents should consider other alternatives to a public shelter, like staying with friends, family, or in a hotel. Also, there are closures in Hillsborough County. Offices and facilities, including parks and preserves, will close at 2 o'clock today so that employees and customers can get home safely. Solid waste collection in Hillsborough will continue today, but may be suspended later, depending on weather conditions. The Apollo Beach Nature Preserve is closed today. The Balm Boyette Scrub Nature Preserve will close at noon today. Hillsborough County Parks and Recreation summer camps will close at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Sandbags are available in Hillsborough at the Edward Medard Conservation Park on 6140 Turkey Creek Road in Plant City, at the E.G. Simmons Conservation Park, 2401 19th Avenue Northwest in Ruskin, and the Ed Radis Park at 14720 Ed Radis Drive in Tampa. So that's some of the information about Hillsborough County. Closer to former County Commissioner Ken Welch's area, the St. Pete information says that due to Tropical Storm Elsa, public city facilities in St. Pete and operations will close at noon today and remain closed tomorrow, Wednesday. Normal city operations and business hours will resume Thursday, July 8th. So if you're in St. Pete or Hillsborough or Citrus County, we've got you covered. We're going to try to update as many as we can throughout the day while we talk about Tropical Storm Elsa. But former Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch, I want to ask you about something else that's happening in the Gulf. There's not just a tropical storm churning up the waters in the Gulf. Over the weekend, we learned about Mexico's state-owned oil company suffering a rupture in an undersea gas pipeline in the Gulf of Mexico. It happened Friday, sending flames boiling to the surface of the Gulf waters. Petróleos Mexicanos said it had dispatched fire control boats to pump more water out over the flames. Now, this is happening near the Yucatan Peninsula, perhaps. It's far away from the Tampa Bay area, far away from Pinellas County and St. Petersburg. But what should Floridians know about this particular incident and maybe the general idea of oil exploration in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, I think it just highlights the fact that we need to continue to drive towards clean energy. The BP oil spill was a long way away from us as well, and that really had an impact on us in Pinellas County and really in the state of Florida. We need to have a sense of urgency about moving towards 100% clean energy and trying to mitigate the impacts of using fossil-based fuels. That video was amazing, just to watch that circle of fire in the Gulf. And I think it just highlights the point that we need to, be committed to moving to 100% clean energy as a goal for the future of our nation. And particularly in Florida and Pinellas County, we are especially vulnerable.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. It's 10:39 in the afternoon. We're speaking with former Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch, and we're talking about right now this oil disaster that happened in the Gulf of Mexico near the Yucatan Peninsula, where there was just a boiling fire of water from this ruptured undersea gas pipeline in the Gulf of Mexico. And we're going to take your calls as well. 813-239-9663. DJ at WMNF.org is how to reach us by email. You can text 813-433-0885. And former County Commissioner Ken Welch is running for St. Pete Mayor. And throughout the summer, we're going to try to have on is all the candidates for St. Pete Mayor before the primary in August. So I'll give you this opportunity, Commissioner Welch, to talk about your candidacy. Why are you running to be mayor of St. Petersburg?
Well, we made the decision to shut down our field efforts today because folks really need to be trying to prepare for the storm and make sure that they're focused on making sure their homes and their families are safe. So I think the only thing I really want to speak to in terms of the campaign is our need to invest in infrastructure and how sea level rise is a reality for us in St. Pete and Pinellas County. The fact that now, 40% of St. Petersburg is now in a coastal high hazard area, which means it will flood if a Cat 1 hurricane comes through. And that was updated recently when the new models came out. So we are already being impacted by sea level rise. And, for the foreseeable future, leaders in our area are going to have to focus on making sure our infrastructure is prepared, that is prepared for the new reality, so we don't have the sewer spills that we had in previous years. You know, we've got old pipes, we've got old plants, the Chrysler administration has, you know, put out a plan to address a lot of that. It's very expensive. It's going to be over $2.4 billion to fund all the upgrades that need to happen over the next two decades. But we haven't done that for so long that we're playing catch up. But that's the reality of being a coastal community that's being severely impacted by sea level rise and the changing environment. So that's the one thing I would want to say in terms of what our elected leaders will have to do here going forward. We're going to have to make the investments in infrastructure, and we're going to have to make the right decisions about where we build, where we increase density, and where we want to focus future growth. We can't continue to grow the same way we have for the last 50 years, because the reality of sea level rise tells us that in certain places in our city and county, we shouldn't build. And there are a lot of impacts, consequences based on where we allow growth, what that means for affordable housing, because a lot of our affordable housing is on the high ground in the middle of the city. And so you don't want to displace people. So it's got to be a holistic view. And that's just one of the reasons that I'm running, because I'm, you know, third generation St. Pete resident. I want to make sure we make the proper investment so that future generations can continue to enjoy our great community.
Our guest is former Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch. He's running for St. Petersburg mayor. We're talking about St. Petersburg, but we're also talking about the whole region with regards to today's tropical storm Elsa. Impending, approaching the area. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 813-239-9663. We have a couple of people on the line. I'm going to ask a question or two before we go to the phone. So Kurt and Patricia, if you would like to hold, please, we'll get to you in just a minute. So Commissioner Welch, the idea of infrastructure is something that we're probably going to be looking straight on in the face in the next 24 hours, because will things like, will the sewage pipes be able to handle all the outflow, all the extra water that's going to be in the area because of the rain and also because of the flooding? And you were talking about the plan that the current mayor Kreisman is putting out to address the pipes, and that it's $2.4 billion. Is that expenditure worth it? If you were mayor of St. Petersburg next year, would you continue to go along with that plan? Can the residents afford something like that?
I think it's the right plan. You know, no one was happy about these sewer spillages that we had, you know, 5-6 years ago. And St. Pete wasn't alone in that. Most cities in the Bay Area, Tampa, Pinellas County, Hillsborough, they all had spills at some level. And so we're all trying to catch up on our infrastructure. But, you know, St. Petersburg's under a consent order from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. I've read that. I've talked to our city staff. It is a good plan. It's expensive because we haven't been doing the kinds of investments that we needed to do for the last 20, 30 years. So we're playing catch up, and folks should know that their rates are scheduled to go up for water, for sewer, for stormwater. And it's to pay that cost to upgrade our infrastructure. What I do want to look at is bringing down federal funds, state funds to try to offset that. The price is so large that the cities for the first time pulled about $9 million a year from Penny for Pinellas funds. So those are funds that would go to parks, go to fire stations, community centers, et cetera. They're pulling that to help offset the cost of fixing the water system. I want to see if we can offset some of that with some federal funding and grant funding, but I do agree it's the right plan. There really was no alternative but to finally make the investments that we should have been making for decades prior.
Our guest is former Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch. He's running for St. Petersburg mayor. We're going to have the other candidates on throughout the summer. We're talking about Tropical Storm Elsa. We're also talking about infrastructure plans for St. Petersburg. And we'd like to take your calls if you would like to call in 813 813- 239-9663. You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. It's 10:46 in the morning. Let's take a call from outside of Pinellas County, outside of St. Pete. We have Kurt in Lakeland on the line. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, Sean, and your guest. My question was really about Piney Point and storm surge from the impending storm. I know that Piney Point was already leaking and causing problems, and that was causing algal blooms. If we have a lot of storm surges, this is going to be a continuing problem. And I guess two questions is, how might we change that in the future? And could it be a Superfund cleanup site? And the other question I have is really about maybe if you could talk about privatization of public utilities, which is kind of going on right now. So those two topics are near and dear to my heart. Thank you.
Kurt, thanks for those questions. Commissioner Welch, what would you say about those?
Well, Piney Point was a disaster waiting to happen, and, the state knew about it. The fact that now we have this huge red tide issue, right after that, and some of the scientists say it's not definitive that Piney Point caused it. I think common sense would tell you that was an impact. That's just my opinion on that. But, long-term, we just need to be responsible about how we handle that kind of waste. It was a potential problem. Everyone knew it, and no one acted on it. The other question he had was about privatization. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of that occurring on this side of Florida. One of our great partnerships, in fact, is Tampa Bay Water. And that was six local governments coming together, the counties of Hillsborough, Pasco, and Pinellas, and the cities of Tampa, St. Pete, and Newport Richey, all coming together to form Tampa Bay Water. And that has been a success in my view. They've set up a sustainable water supply, which is a combination of surface water, the desal plant, the reservoir, and allowed us as a region to have a stable kind of drought-proof water supply. So that to me is kind of the opposite of privatization. It was governments coming together, and I think that's been a success story of how we can, from a regional perspective, support our utilities and our infrastructure.
All right, thanks, Kurt, for those questions, and thanks to former Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch for answering them. We'll get to Patricia in just a second, but I want to read this update that just came from the Pinellas County about the closures and of government offices and park facilities. All Pinellas County parks and government buildings will be closed to the public today, starting at 2. They will remain closed tomorrow. Pinellas County is currently under a hurricane watch. It's also under a tropical storm warning and a storm surge warning and a flood watch. So residents may experience flooding in coastal and low-lying areas and a loss of power due to downed trees and tree limbs today and tomorrow. Tornadoes and waterspouts are also possible. Parks that are distributing sandbags today until noon today in Pinellas. John Chestnut Park at East Lake Road in Palm Harbor, Walsingham Park on 102nd Avenue North in Largo. And the county has opened two shelters as a last resort for residents who do not have a safe place to shelter. The Lailman Exchange Shelter, which is at 5175 45th Street North in St. Petersburg, will open for the general population, those with special needs, and persons with pets. Also, the Ross Norton Recreation Center Shelter, which is located at 1426 South Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue in Clearwater, will open to the general population. If you have any questions, you can call 727-464-4333. So that's some information from Pinellas County. And I want to remind people that you're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. I'm Sean Canaan. It's 10:50 in the morning. Coming up next is Janelle Irwin's great talk show. It's called The Scoop, and that's at 11:06. Right now, my guest is former Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch, who is running for St. Pete's mayor. And you have talked during this conversation about development and about where we build and the density. So there seem to be a lot of dense population types of residences going up in downtown St. Petersburg, like a lot of apartments going up. Is that high and dry enough to be building there? Is it the right amount of density? Is flooding going to be a concern, especially if the Trop area gets redeveloped? What can you say about the development near and in downtown St. Petersburg?
Well, this is a question, Sean, that I get all the time, no matter what part of the city I'm in. Folks ask about growth, and specifically, are we growing too fast? Are we outpacing, you know, our ability to handle the growth? You know, is there so much development that the, you know, the wastewater system can't handle it? And in terms of density, there are certain places where we want to concentrate density. Our activity centers like downtown St. Pete, the Tyrone area, the Gateway area, that's where, according to the county plan and the comp plan for the city, that's where the density should occur. And along our corridors like 34th Street and 4th Street and the Central Avenue corridor with the First Avenue. So the density that we're seeing is actually in the places it was planned to go. The question, and it allows our neighborhoods to retain their character, our single, you know, single family homes, duplexes, apartments. The question is, have we had so much growth in a short amount of time that it's outpaced our infrastructure's ability to handle it? The answer you'll get from staff is that no, we've got the capacity to handle, you know, so many million gallons per day of waste. The problem is that our pipes are so old that the rainwater infiltrates the pipes. It leaks into the pipes, and now you've got too much volume to handle. Either way you do the math, the growth is impacting our ability to handle the waste. And that's why, going back to your previous question, that's why we have to make those investments to upgrade our pipes, upgrade our plants. And a lot of that has already happened. The plant capacity has been increased substantially. But it's a matter of pacing, making sure that new growth doesn't outpace our upgrades of our infrastructure. And again, to me, you know, St. Pete has for so long wanted to have the kind of vibrant downtown that we're seeing now. We're kind of getting what we planned for over 30 years. What we didn't do at the same time was make sure the infrastructure could support that. And so we're playing catch up on the infrastructure side of that.
Our guest is Ken Welch. He's former county commissioner in Pinellas County. He's also running for St. Petersburg mayor. And we're going to go to the phone lines. If you'd like to join us on the phone, it's 813-239-9663. And joining us now is Patricia from Seminole. Hi, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Hey, I believe Commissioner Welch mentioned high ground, and the previous caller mentioned storm surge. I'm in Seminole, which is on Ridge Road, and hence one of the highest elevations in Pinellas County. But what I'm concerned about now that they're downgrading from hurricane, I'm concerned about tornadoes, specifically tornadoes. I've heard little from anyone in the news telling people, you know, you better have your space ready to run to. And then I know in my house, the safest room in my house is an inside bedroom closet. So I put water in there and a mat down and a pillow and some snacky things and a flashlight. I've got that ready to go. So using the expertise from former Commissioner Welch, does the county have a program where they ring up people and in the event of a tornado spotted? Don't they call people and say, take cover? And should people make sure those numbers are up to date or know about that or other programs the county has?
There is a program, and I'm trying to remember the name. I think it's Alert Pinellas, where you do get an alert on your phone. I've gotten a couple of alerts in the last day or so. I would direct you to go to pinellascounty.org and search for Alert Pinellas. I think that's the name of it. But it is a system that will call your phone. It will alert you when there's a hurricane watch or a tropical storm watch, but also when there is an immediate risk of a tornado. And I'm looking for it. I don't see it right now, but go to pinellascounty.org.
And the other counties may have similar types of alert systems. Anything else, Patricia?
No, but I hope everybody's got that space ready, because I've received that telephone call and it's like, take cover now. There's a tornado in Seminole.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I know where I'm going. Thank you.
That's good planning. Thank you, Patricia.
Yeah, that please, tornadoes are definitely a possibility with this storm, especially if it's likely to be overnight, perhaps when the winds are the strongest, from maybe around dusk tonight to maybe mid-morning tomorrow is when we're expecting the strongest winds. And that's also probably the best way for for tornadoes to form is during those high tropical storm wind events. So thank you for that call, Patricia. We really appreciate that. And let's take a call right now from Lisa in Clearwater. Hi, Lisa. Do you have a question for former County Commissioner Ken Welch?
Yes, I do. And I do get those tornado alerts. And thank you, Patricia, for bringing that up for people that don't know about it. I'm calling about the Gulf to Bay State Road 60 corridor. I want to ask former Commissioner Welch if he participated in the decision to allow to allow Clearwater to annex county property on the south side of Gulf to Bay, which is along the shoreline of Tampa Bay, to allow apartments to be built there. Gulf to Bay is one of our primary roads to get out of Clearwater, and yet the county and the city are permitting apartments to be built on the south side of Gulf to Bay between, say, McMullen Booth Road and US 19. And why was that allowed? Why was that decision made?
All right. Thank you for the question, Lisa. Let's see what former County Commissioner Ken Welch has to say about that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lisa, for the question. Before I answer that, I want to just shoot real quick back to the Alert Pinellas. That is at pinellascounty.org/alertpinellas. And that's where you can sign up. On Lisa's question, I'm not familiar with the apartments that she's referring to on Gulf to Bay. I'm trying to picture where that is. I think she said east of US 19. And I think that's city of Clearwater proper, but I don't recall any commission action to annex that or to allow more building than was previously allowed. So I'd have to know specifically where she's talking about and what time period. Lisa, if you're still there, what time period does this occur in?
I'm pretty sure you were on the commission at the time, and Forward Pinellas agreed to it. It's the properties along the shoreline of Tampa Bay between McMullen Booth Road and US 19, and some of the properties at some point, all of those properties were in the county, but the county allowed the comprehensive plan land use map to be changed, and Clearwater annexed those properties, and now Clearwater is permitting apartments to be built there. And it was a big campaign. It was called the US 19 corridor, which made no sense to me whatsoever because it was actually between McMullen Booth Road and Gulf to Bay. So I don't know, you know, US 19 to me is a north-south road. Gulf to Bay is an east-west road. So
Lisa, I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry. I'm going to let Commissioner Welch answer, and then we're going to have to wrap it up after that.
Yeah. So I think if she's referring to the north part of Gulf to Bay between 19 and the Bayside Bridge, that is one of those main corridors where density is allowed. So that would fit with the county plan and the comp plan. I don't recall the annexation piece of that, but that would not be out of character with our plan for density on major corridors.
Well, former County Commissioner, Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch, I want to thank you so much for coming back on WMNF today.
My pleasure, Sean, and please stay safe. Everybody stay safe through the storm.
Well, thank you, and you as well. And thank you. I want to thank my guest, former County Commissioner Ken Welch. He's also running for St. Pete Mayor. We're going to have the rest of the candidates on throughout the summer as well. I want to thank Barbara Fling for answering phones during the show. I'm Sean Canaan. I'll be back next Tuesday morning at 10:06. Stay tuned now for Janelle Irwin in her new time and her new show called The Scoop. That's at 11 o'clock every Tuesday morning, 11:06 after NPR News headlines. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. I want to thank everyone for listening. Go Bolts!